Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
I'm the nerd. She's the free spirit. I mean, we are just so obsessed. I am a huge sports nut. I love sports. Go Steelers, right? I love Steelers. We might just stop and pray for all you booers right now, all right? We need to do some prayer for y'all. It's all right. We still love you. It's all right. No one's perfect. All right, but she's like, football, eh. It's just, we are just all, our families are even different, right? She grew up, her parents have been married for like over 30 years. My parents got divorced when I was 8. When we met, her family, every Sunday night, went over to grandma's house for dinner. Supper, sorry, I went to Northern. It's supper, right? Let me explain family. It was like aunts, uncles, cousins, strangers walking by the house. It didn't matter. It was like 20, 30 people coming over to grandma's house every night, every Sunday night for supper. My family, some of us got together around Christmas, and about 10 minutes in, we were ready for next year. It's like, all right, we're good. It's just complete. You're like, man, this doesn't even work. I love giving surprises to people. I'm a surprise person. I like doing it. She hates it. So we get married. Seemed right. And of course, as we go to get married, her job is to plan the wedding. You know, of course, since you're about, you know, girls 5, 6 years old, you start dreaming of how you want the wedding to be, the church, one aisle or two aisles, the flowers. I mean, you just got everything. So her job was the wedding. My job was the honeymoon. I had my vision of the honeymoon. Now, see, that was a joke you didn't get. See, some of you, all right, your honeymoon was different, I guess. So my job was planning the honeymoon, and I wanted to surprise her for the honeymoon. And, of course, she hates surprises. So she's like, babe, I got to know how to pack. I'm like, sweetie, we're getting married in May. Just pack to wear something in May. It's gorgeous everywhere in May, so don't worry about it. But she was like, I got to know what to pack. Where are we going? So I wouldn't tell her. So I decide, all right, here's what we'll do. I'll drop you little hints, all right, for you to figure out. Now, here's the only rule. You can't get any help. You need to figure out where it is we're going by the little hints. So, you know, one of the little hints, I got her a raccoon and... You little freaks. It wasn't a real one, all right? It was a stuffed animal raccoon. Because, see, we were going to the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, and the Tennessee state rodent is a raccoon. See, you learned something in church today. You feel good. So you're going to leave knowing something. So, you know, I got her all these little hints on where we were going, and about 2 weeks into this, she got tired of it, started taking all the clues into work, asking everybody, where are we going? And, of course, she comes home. I know where we're going. We're going to the Smoky Mountains. I was like, there's no way you figured that out by a raccoon. There's no way. And so, and of course, the wedding went off pretty good, and we start going the next day to Tennessee, to the Smoky Mountains. And, of course, when you're dating, you don't recognize little things that you should pick up on when you're dating. But once you're married, literally 10 minutes after you're dating, you realize things that you didn't realize when you were dating. And, of course, I've got my vision of how, you know, the honeymoon's going to go. I imagine the 5-6-hour drive to Tennessee, you know, we're just going to be all, we just got married the day before. It's going to be all about love. She's going to have, like, her hand on my neck and just giving him a massage. You know, the rest I can't tell you, but it's honeymoon stuff. But... So we start going to Tennessee, and about 20 minutes into the trip, I get a babe. I'm hungry. I'm like, gotcha, sweetie, we'll eat, all right? Don't worry, because she doesn't know we got a cabin. We got this gorgeous cabin overlooking the mountains, and, you know, hot. I was just like, man, babe, we got to get there. And, of course, we eat differently. I eat, like, once a day, and then I'm good for, like, 30 hours, right? I'm just like, I get hungry, give me a Chinese buffet, and I'm good for, like, another day. When Shannon says she's hungry, I've got about a 10 to 15 minute window to get her something to eat. All right? Otherwise, it ain't going to be good. We get like 20 minutes into the trip. Babe, I'm hungry. I'm like, sweetie, we'll get to that. I'm thinking she's got a good 4 hours before she really gets hungry. We get like an hour into the trip. Babe, I'm hungry. Sweetie, we'll get to that. We got to get to where we're going. All right? You're just going to love it. I'll get you some food. We get like 2 hours into the trip. Babe, I'm hungry. Sweetie, come on. Well, come on. And you also got to know this. When I drive, when I'm going somewhere, I don't want to stop. I got to get there in a time, right? I mean, so that's me. We can't stop for anything. I was like, babe, we'll get there. Like 4 hours into the trip, she's like, babe, I need to eat, sweetie. Okay, we'll get there. And then I remember her hand, just like I kind of envisioned, coming up around the back of my neck. A little tighter than what I was imagining it being. And she's like, get me something to eat. I'm like, yo, first place out of anything edible, I pull over. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Babe, let's get something to eat. She eats and she becomes Shannon again. You know, it's just like the Snickers commercial. It's amazing. It is, serious. It's just incredible. And it's like, whoa, this is day one of marriage? You know, I mean, wedding went great. First fight was day one. You know, marriage, awesome. Day one, first fight. It's like, come on, you've got to be kidding me. And a few weeks ago, when Jeff and I sat down, we started talking about this series. He's like, hey, I've got a message I think God wants me to bring about parenting. If you weren't here last week, go to the website, crisislove.org. Great message on parenting. And he was like, hey, can you talk about marriage? I'm like, yeah. I was like, none of it's going to be good, but I can talk about some marriage stuff. All right, now I know for some of you in here, you're single, and you're just like, why'd I even come today? All right, I'm going to tell you why you came today, because there's two types of single people in here today. One, you're single, and you could care less about marriage right now. Either you're divorced, widowed, whatever, you don't even care about marriage. That's okay. Almost everything we talk about today, almost everything, is going to apply to all kinds of relationships in your life. All right, so you are here on a good day. The other group of single people that's here are people who are single who believe, hey, I'm going to be married one day. What we're going to talk about today, you are not going to be encouraged at all to do right now. At all, I promise you. But it will never be more beneficial. If you start applying some of the stuff we're going to talk about today, it will prepare you to have an incredibly great marriage and be able to prepare you in the future for an awesome marriage. All right, because the first thing we need to understand right off the top is that a great marriage will be full of trouble. See, some of you are laughing because you're married and you know. Yeah, a great marriage will be full of trouble. Some of you are like, hey, we're doing something right. Because check out what Paul says. Paul, he wrote almost half the New Testament. Paul comes along, he says this in 1 Corinthians 7. But to those who marry will face many, what's that? Trouble. In this life, and I want to spare you this. Isn't that awesome? Here's Paul. He's like, hey, you want to know how to have the most trouble-free life? Don't get married. He's like, look, I want to spare you this, all right? And so Paul, now before he gets to this, he talks about, hey, I'm single. I wish so many of more of you are single, because when you're single, you can just devote yourself to more ministry. You can just do more stuff. I remember before Shannon and I got married, man, I was in like every committee we had here at the church, you know, and I did all kinds of trips. She got married, of course, I got to spend time with her, you know. Then we get married, we get kids, you got to pour time into them. So he's like, look, it's better for you to be single. Now, he's not saying don't get married, all right, because he says, hey, because you could burn with some passion, so it's okay. Guys, get married, one wife. Girls, get married, one husband. It's okay to be married. And in this passage, he's saying, look, being single and being married are both gifts. It is our job to pray for our hearts to be right for the gift that God's given us. All right? But he's warning us, if you get married, it's going to be full of trouble. Now, I wonder, Christians are real good at taking verses way out of context and claiming them, you know, printing them on stuff. Come on, married couples, how many of you have this verse on a coffee mug at home? You know, I'm just wondering, you know, you're sitting at home, you know, you got the mug, marriage is full of trouble, you know, you're sitting there having coffee in the morning, you're like, honey, you're biblical. Good talk. Seriously, if y'all have one of those, tweet me that picture. That I really want to see that mug. That could be a good seller. So seriously, a great marriage is full of trouble, right? We know it. It's biblical. Paul's telling us, hey, if you get married, just be ready. It is going to be full of trouble. Now, for those of you who are single and you want to be married, or you are currently married and your marriage isn't going great, it's not exactly what you want it to be, you probably look around and be like, man, I wish my marriage was like them. I wish my marriage was like that. I wish we had that. And you look at all these other people that you think have great marriages, and you just like, man, I wish our marriage was like that. And we just got to understand that great marriages aren't trouble-free. Great marriages deal with trouble well. It is impossible for you to have a perfect marriage. Paul tells us, boom, you get married, your life is going to be full of trouble. All right. If you've been married for about an hour, you probably know this to be true, that you've hit some bumps along the way. All right. So it really gets to the point where if we're talking about marriage, we have to understand marriage is really formed by love. So it's like, all right, so what is love? How is it do we define love? Because whenever you get married, you're all in love. Oh, we're mushy-gushy. Yeah, we're in love. So I had written out some really good things that I thought would be a good definition of love, but then I thought that was a bad idea. So here's what we're going to do. I want to get your definition of love. All right? So here we go. This is kind of like the axiom thing in math where it's like, you know, the whole is equal to sum of its parts. And don't look at me like I knew that. I had to look it up. All right? So dang. Y'all, that's a heck of a circle, folks. I've been drawing squares this week. I mean, that's pretty good right there. All right, so right here, we're going to figure out the definition of love. And I think we would all agree that when it comes to love, it includes a lot of different pieces. There's a lot of different moving parts, and I want to get those from you. All right, so to have a love relationship, what would it include? Trust. Good. Thanks. Sharing. Empathy. Respect. You can only go so far with ADD. All right. Respect. Passion. What else? Patience. Oh, communicate. All right. Yeah. Patience. Communication. Close enough. I'm the only one who needs to read it. Faith. God. Time. Money. I'm just going to tell you, there's some real disappointing college students in here right now. All right, we'll put it over here. Money. What's that? Compromise. Oh, that's good. That's good. Compromise. Forgiveness. Ooh. Here we go. Up here. Humor. Commitment. This may have been a disaster. All right. We're going to keep going anyway. All right. What else? Submission, okay. Cooking. All right. Cooperation, all right. All right, pain. I think someone said honesty. Happiness, okay. Chocolate. All right. Chocolate. All right. Hey, was that intimacy? Someone say intimacy? All right. I think I heard someone say intimacy. All right. And I think it was a dude, always. Let me spell that for you, dude. There we go, yeah. Gotcha. All right. Well, to come more, anything else? Prayer? All right, prayer. One. What's that? Sacrifices. Cool, enough. I said that's enough. It's a monologue from here on out. Your part's done. Okay. All right. Man, all right, so here's our wheel. Here's how you define love. Do you see what you've given me? Have you seen this? All right, we're going to go through these. You tell me if these are choices or if these are feelings. Because in our culture, don't we say whenever we're in love, oh, it's all about feelings. When I'm with him, when I'm with her, oh, she makes me feel this, he makes me feel that, and it's all about feelings. Isn't that how we kind of go with our culture? It's all about feelings. So let's try this out. How many of these are choices, and how many of these are feelings? Honesty. Choice. Chocolate. feeling with chocolate. What are you kidding? All right. Happiness. Feeling. Choice. Trust. Choice. Sharing. Choice. Empathy. Feeling. Choice. I think that's a choice. I think that's a choice. Respect. Choice. Passion. Choice. Patience. Choice. Communication. Choice. Faith. Choice. To have God. What in the world is that? Oh, how you manage your time? Pain? All right, that could be a feeling. Cooperation? Money? We need a lot of prayer in here. All right, compromise? Forgiveness? Commitment? Submission? Cooking? Prayer? Sacrifice? Humor? I think humor's a feeling. We can, yeah, humor's a feeling. Sex! Choice. Oh, it's a choice, but if it's not a feeling, you're doing something wrong. So we're all right, there. We got a feeling. All right, so. Do you see what you've done? Look, this is your definition, not mine. Don't blame this on me. You just said, this is our definition of love. How many of these are choices and how many? You gave me like what, two, three? Three emotions. Three emotions. All the rest, you said this, not me. You said, man, look, okay, is humor fun, sex, you know, pain? Is this stuff part of having a love relationship? Yes, let's please not take these out, all right? But look at how small of a part of a loving relationship it really is. But yet for us, we always talk about, oh, I love him, and we feel so, oh, just, and we think it's all about these emotions and these feelings. But yet, you've said this, not me, you've said, look, love is actually a choice, which means you cannot fall into love. It is impossible. If love is a choice, you can't fall into something that's a choice. You have to choose whether or not you do it. So you cannot fall in love. It's impossible. So you cannot fall in love, but you can fall in an emotion. You know how I learned this? You're like, the Bible. No. The Bachelor. All right? I mean, seriously, I hate that show. And my wife, I forget, Shannon watched this for like the first four or five seasons. And I tried to watch it with her. I kept making fun of it. I absolutely hated that show. But I mean, seriously, if you've all seen The Bachelor, you know, you get like one incredibly good, chiseled with his shirt off, you know, dude. You get 32 beautiful women. You know, you put them all in one area. A lot of pools and hot tubs. Dates like we all take, right? Helicopter rides to a glacier with the band playing. You know, we just call it Thursday night at our house. You know, everything is romantically charged. You got your own wardrobe, planes, cruises. And after 6 weeks, you have one dude who has fallen in love with his soulmate. Right? And, of course, you have that ridiculous rose ceremony. And he always gets that last rose. He's like, I'm going to need a minute. All right, and of course, you've got that one girl, she was like, oh, I know he's the one for me, but I've never had a one-on-one, but we have all, and you're just like, oh, man, don't give it to her, right? And it's like, okay, but here's a way, and that's what our culture bases this off of, isn't it? Because for 6 weeks, you put yourself in a position, you chose to have yourself in a position to fall in an emotion. You set yourself up to be in a spot to have humor, fun, and to have sex. And let me tell you, church, that is incredibly easy to fall into, and it is incredibly easy to fall out of. And when you get into a relationship and it is based on fun and sex, when things get tough, what are the first two things to go? We're not having fun. And we're not having sex. And because that was your definition of love when you got started, that was your definition of marriage, now you don't have marriage because the rest of the choices were not there. But to you, to me, to our society, to culture, oh, it's all about emotion. And it is such a small part of what a love relationship actually is. So you cannot fall in love. you can fall in emotion. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to this, our wheels aren't all or nothing. All this stuff comes in degrees. And if you've been married or you've been in any kind of relationship, you understand this. Let's just say this whole thing went on a degree of 0 to 100, okay? All right, we'll take honesty up at the top. Let's say I'm rocking at like a 90, all right? I'm doing honesty good. You know, it took a while, but I'm built up to an honesty. Shannon calls me, and this has been a day in our life. Shannon calls me, and she's like, hey, babe, I'm making dinner. I want to make sure it's out for whenever you get home so it's hot, because she's awesome. And she was like, when are you coming home? I'm like, babe, I'm about to walk out the door right now. I'll be home. We live like 10 minutes from the church, like with traffic. So I'm like, be home 10, 15 minutes max. And I show up an hour and a half later with good reason. I get home, I'm like, babe, I'm so sorry. I left my office. As soon as I walked out, somebody asked me a couple questions. We had to talk for a few minutes. And this day seriously happened. I go to walk outside. Somebody who was homeless, had no shoes, came up to the door. Is like, hey, can you help me out with some clothes or shoes? So I bring him in, start giving him some clothes and some food. And then as soon as I lock the doors, I'm starting to walk out. There's another person who drives up. Man, I just lost my job. We can't put any gas in the car. I go and get gas in their car for him. And I get home an hour and a half later. I've got great excuses. Great reasons, but what has it done to my wheel? The honesty that I had built up with Shannon is now down to like a 35, right? I didn't bring her any chocolate, so that's not very good. Her happiness is down to about a 50, right? She's not sharing anything. She has no empathy. I'm down here. Respect for me is about here. She doesn't think it's very funny, and I'm not getting, so you, look, you see how this works, right? And you're laughing because if you're married, you know this is true. One lousy afternoon and everything we build up with our wheel comes crashing down on top of it by one lousy afternoon with legitimate excuses, with good reason. That's why love is a choice. It is not an emotion. You have to constantly, every day, be building into these wheels. And if you aren't doing those daily deposits, those positives every single day, I'm telling you, one bad day, and you guys know this, boom, everything comes crashing to the ground. Now, here's the thing. I think the guy who created love, the guy who created marriage, our Heavenly Father, I think he agrees with our wheel. Because in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, some of you had this read at your wedding. It says this. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It is not easily angered. It is not easily angered. Now look, I know there are some women in here that fall into this, but a lot of this is dudes. Seriously, guys, quit blaming your heritage, your family. Oh, that's just who we are. We just get angry and we blow up. Yes, so does a nuclear bomb. And it destroys everybody around it. There is absolutely no excuse to be angry. You know why? Because it's not the definition of love. It is not easily angered. So quit using some jacked up excuse for why you can't control your anger. Do not get angry, because love, if you love her, it's not easily angered. Sorry, ADD moment went sidetracked, all right? It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. That's God's definition of love. And I don't know if you noticed, go back and highlight all the emotions in those verses. You will notice all the emotions that were listed in there were ones not to have. All of them. Because love is a choice. It's not based on emotion. Is there some emotion? Yes. Yes, there's some emotion involved. But to have a true love relationship is so much more than just the emotion. There are all kinds of choices that have to be involved with having a loving relationship. So it leads us to the question, how do we do this? How do we daily, on a daily basis, get to a point where we are building into this wheel? I'm so glad you asked. Go ahead, we are in 1 Corinthians. Flip over three books to your right to Ephesians. All right, it's real easy to find. You're in 1 Corinthians, go 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Ephesians 5. We find our answer. Once again, this is Paul. And he's like, all right, now, at the beginning of this that we're going to talk, he's not talking about marriage. He's talking about those of you who say, I'm a follower of Jesus. At the beginning, this is not a marriage passage, okay? And Paul says, be imitators of God. Okay. Like, that's hard, right? I mean, could you give me a little bit lower bar to get to? Go imitate God? And then he says this. He doesn't kind of leave us hanging, gives us some encouragement. He was like, as beloved children, meaning, look, I know that may be a tough bar, but you are God's children. He lives inside of you. You were made and created to reflect him. So in your relationships, I want you to imitate God. And then he goes on. He says, and walk in love as who? Loved who? And gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He was like, look, in your relationships, once again, he's not talking about marriage yet. He's like, in your relationships with other people, imitate God. And here's how you can do it, because you saw Christ and he did it for you. So you've got the example. And then he gets to the marriage part. Well, not yet, actually. He goes down to verse 21. He gives us about 18 verses on how it looks like as individuals, on how we can be imitators of God in all kinds of areas of our lives. And then in verse 21, he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then, now see, that is, hey, if you are a Christ follower, this is a command. We are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Your boss, your neighbor, I mean, we are to submit to one another, not because they're awesome, but because we love Jesus. And that's the stage, that's the setup. And then he talks about marriage. And he says, hey, this, and for marriage, it's even, here you go, there's more to it. Wives, here's what it looks like for you. He says, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do the Lord. For the Lord is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he's Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands and everything. Now, it's basically, okay, like Christ United here, our church, we submit ourselves to Jesus as a body of Christ. He's making that comparison. So wives, same thing, all right? That's why. Not because your husbands are great and respectful all the time, and we're going to get to that in a minute, but you are supposed to do this. And then he gets to the guys, and he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, I know we don't like the word submission. We absolutely hate it, if we're honest. And we have to understand something. Whenever we're talking about husbands loving wives the way Christ loved the church, guys, we have to understand there is a huge command here for us, okay? And we need to understand, seriously, and for you, an understanding in a room this size with all you, everybody in here, my guess is there might be a woman in here who might be really, really torn up because maybe her husband used that verse that was written to women and used it against her over and over and over to make her do things in the marriage that she never wanted to hop in on, ever, didn't agree to. And that was never the point of these verses. It was not God's heart in it at all. To understand submission, we need to understand what submission is not. Submission is not one-sided. Guys, if you read that first part of that verse where it says, wives, submit to your husbands, what's that first word? Wives. It wasn't written to you. So quit reading it. Quit making your wife do something. How about you focus on the part that starts with what? Husbands. That's your part. That's my part. And husbands, our job is what? To make our wives the most beautiful, precious person on the face of the earth every single day. To make her blemish-free. I don't care how old she is. To make her perfect. I don't care what the scale says. Our job is to love our wives the way Jesus loved the church. And the church is a jacked up group of people, and I think you know that. And how did Christ love the church? To the point of death. Meaning, guys, husbands, your job, my job, is to love our wives and make sure they know for every single day they are the most important woman in our lives, regardless if they're lovable or not. Our job is to love them because we say we're a Christ follower, because we say we love Jesus. And it doesn't matter what she does. Our job, it doesn't say, hey, love her if she. It doesn't say that. It says, you love her to the point of your own demise. God, really, how far do I have to go with that? Remember the cross. That's how far you go, husbands, because this comes screaming into a first century culture where women had zero value. They couldn't have property. They couldn't own anything. I mean, women were basically about as valuable as the animals. And I'm not joking. And it comes screaming in, and God says, that's my daughter. You better start treating her the way you're supposed to treat her. And here's how you do it, guys. Wives, you need to submit to him. I know you're going to say, but he's not very submittable, all right? He's not very respectable. He doesn't deserve it. I think God would say, you're right. But you're not doing it for him. You're doing it because you love me. And you might be the only Jesus he sees. And that's why wives are to do it. And that's why husbands are to do it for their wives, sacrificially. It is not one-sided. In fact, submission is the complete opposite. Submission is putting the needs and interests of someone else above your own. All right? It's those little daily deposits we talked about. Now, this isn't on your note sheet, but I think you guys get it, that whenever you're in marriage, every single day you got to be building into it. Otherwise, you're not. So choosing not to do something is still choosing to do something. So, I did a lot of writing. All right, so here. You start with your marriage date. For us, May 1st, 2004. And then our anniversary is tomorrow. Woo, baby, I love you. Marriage line starts, right? These are all these different years going along. And then we're going to have these. And what are these? Trouble, roadblocks. And what are these made out of? They can be made out of anything. First kid. Loss of job, finances, Facebook, opposite sex relationships at work. These could be anything. If you aren't daily putting these little pluses into your marriage, if you aren't intentionally building that wheel every single day, you are subtracting from it every single day. And whenever you get to one of these, and we know it's biblical, marriages are going to be full of trouble. When you get to one of these, if you've been building in, that's not too difficult to get over. You can get over that. But if you're not and you're going here, that's a tough jump. That's a tough jump. And these things don't go parallel, all right? So the more you do this, the more it's just going to keep going up and up and up. And same here. The more you do this, the more it's going to go like this. And right around here is normally where people come in. And they're like, Steve, we're done. We have fallen out of love with each other. Nothing's there. There's no humor. We're not having fun. We're not having any sex. Everything's gone. And trust me, look, I understand what marriage, we could go for 4 weeks and talk about and really dig into this. This is just the tip of the iceberg, but this is so important. When you get to here, you didn't fall out of love because you didn't fall into it. When you get to here, it's because somewhere between here and here, you chose to stop loving each other. And if all that was put into it to build it up was fun and sex, when it's gone, I can guarantee you, by the time you get here, you're not having fun and you're not having sex. And because the marriage was built on that, you think it's absolutely over and it's done because that's what the relationship was built on. But you can't fall out of it because you can't fall into it. So church, that's actually really good news, isn't it? You haven't fallen out of love with each other. We've chosen to stop loving. And I know it happened for Shannon and I. We were on the marriage roller coaster, right? Marriage starts off, and marriage is full of joy. Oh, baby, I love you. Honeymoon forever, baby. Right? I do, you do, we do. We're going to keep on doing. It's better than anybody. That's not going to happen to us. I love you, baby. Right? That's most marriages start with joy. And then all of a sudden, there's disillusionment, and I looked it up. It is a word. Disappointment. This is the part of marriage where it's like, whoa, time out. I didn't know you were like that. I didn't see that when we were dating. Whoa. This is not what I signed up for. And that's where all the feelings are gone. And then what happens? It gets worse. Because that leads to misery. And some of you might be there today. Your marriage, your relationship is in complete misery because it wasn't living up to what you expected. There's something in there that, man, I wasn't expecting this. I didn't want that. This is so confusing. This has happened twice in our marriage. And this is where the biggest choice is made. Because down here is divorce. And this is where the choice is, one of the biggest choices is made when you get to this point. And look, if you are single, trust me, the best time to get divorced is before you get married. The best time to figure out that's not the one for you is before you say, I do. That's why this is so important. And you get to the point where you're in misery, and then you have a choice to make. Twice this has happened for Shannon and I. And it got to a point where we just started having some tough conversations over weeks where I thought we were just laying out everything why we were going to get a divorce. She was expressing what she wasn't happy about. I was expressing what I wasn't happy about. And I thought we were just laying it all out just so we can have reasons just to call it quits. She would be like, look, when I cry, you walk out of the room. And look, okay, I know that sounds bad, all right? But you have to understand, my wife had the spiritual gift of crying, okay? I mean, she cries for happy, sad, movies, Super Bowl commercials. It doesn't really matter. She cries for everything, all right? So I was able to say, babe, what's wrong? Nothing. Is there anything I can do? Nothing. I don't know what else to do. She starts crying. I'm done. I'm out of here. Because I'm a dude. I like to fix it. If you don't tell me how I can fix it, there's nothing else for me to do. And I don't want to deal with the crying. I'm out of here. And she's like, look, I just wanted you to hold me and tell me everything was going to be okay. I'd be like, I don't even know anything's wrong. She was like, well, why don't you just lie to me? I got to be honest. I never would have thought of that on my own. Ever. Say, just tell me it's going to be okay. I don't even know anything's wrong. She's like, I just want you to listen. When I come home, guys, when you go home and she asks, how was your day? She wants more than a 3-word answer. That is how she is building into trying to connect with you. I can almost guarantee if you give 3-word answers and your marriage isn't great, my bet is she's not willing to share herself with you because you won't share your day with her. It is a communication piece that is so, you got to spend some time. When she asks how your day, tell her, I don't care what you're, I mean, I used to work at a gym. I'm like, big deal. What? I sold 3 gym memberships today. That was great. It's about talking. It's about getting together in front of each other and talking. So that's how you got to do it. And it's all these little things. Where are we going to eat? How's it going? All these things. And we got to a point where as we were having these conversations, we actually started going this way. And I'll tell you why. It's because we started finally to understand each other. I loved her. I wanted the best for her. I was just starting to believe that it wasn't me. And I didn't know how to love her. We have to be so clear with our expectations. Because you see, submitting to one another means clearly stating your expectations. Ladies, do not tell him, hey, love me. We are goobers. We will not figure this out. And I know when we were dating, we figured it out. Okay? And of course, and it's kind of like the little claw game, you know, at the arcade where you try and get something, you put quarters in until you get something. See, for guys, we think we just keep putting quarters in the game, and then once we get a prize out, we stop putting quarters in. Yeah, don't use that example with your wife, because I can guarantee you, your wife needs those quarters after marriage. She needs them. You have got to continuously be pouring into the marriage. All the time, every day, it is daily choices, and you have to be absolutely clear with what your expectations are. Because here's the thing, when you start making the choices of love, the emotions will follow. Because I know for a fact when you get here, and you are down here, I get that the emotions are gone, given. And this is where you figure out how healthy you are, not necessarily your marriage. If your spouse comes up to you and says, honey, this isn't meet my expectations, would you mind doing this? Healthy people say, I'm so glad you told me, because the last thing I ever want to do is not meet your expectations. People who aren't healthy, well, I can't help you feel that way. Well, I do this. That's what unhealthy people do. Healthy people say, I'm so glad you told me. So when your spouse tells you something that might sting a little bit, it's just information. It's saying, here's how you can love me better. Healthy people say thanks for the information, and then you start gaining an understanding with each other that you have never had before. And when you start doing this, when you start making the choices of love, two healthy people doing that, I promise you the emotions will follow. It will happen every single time with two healthy people. But we have to understand that expectations unsaid will always go unmet. If you do not tell him specifically how to love you, he won't figure it out. Shannon loves it when I do the dishes. I'd rather slam my finger in a door. Just going to be honest, all right? But I know if I go in and do the dishes, it's one of the most romantic things I can possibly do for her. And I figured that out after we started having some conversations. And women, look, ladies, I know you're going to be like, well, then he's only doing it because I told him. Yes, that's love. Tell him. And you start getting an understanding. And we've only been married, it'll be 13 years tomorrow. We are still jacked up. All right, we got such a long way to go. But I'm telling you, this makes all the difference in the world. You start gaining an understanding for each other, and it's just going to continue to grow into a mature love, which we are still growing in every single day of our lives. But you got to make that, you got to build that wheel. You got to make the choices every single day. And there's all kinds of choices with everything on that wheel. It is something you have to do. You have to be clear with what you expect from your spouse. It's got to be clear. Otherwise, neither side will figure it out. Because trust me, I'll guess and it'll be different the next day. It changes all the time. How can I love you better? And when they give you that information, thank you for telling me. You see, love is basically just a choice to submit. And we don't like it. We don't like that word. But that's what love is. You know how we should know that? Because your Heavenly Father and my Heavenly Father, who is a God of love, sent his Son to this earth to live an absolutely perfect life, sin-free, to watch this world tear him apart, to spit on him, to whip him, and nail him to a cross. He went all in on you and all in on me before we ever chose to love him back. And Jesus didn't go to the cross and say, well, I'll only go if they love me. He said, I'm going to go to the cross even if they don't. I'm going to submit myself to those who don't even deserve it. Romans 5 says that God loved us when we were still enemies of him. For some of you, that may be the first time you ever heard that today. You thought God just hated you because your life is just in misery, your marriage is blown up, whatever, no relationships are going good, and you didn't know that God was a God of love and that he loved you so much, he sacrificed his Son. And he went all in, knowing you may not say yes, knowing you may not choose to love him back. But he said, love is a choice. Someone's got to take the first step. And I'm going to send my Son. And I'm going to show you what it means to submit. To give you the example of what it means to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I love you that much. For some of you, in your marriages, you're just like, I thought it was done. I thought it was dead. You know what the beautiful thing is? Our God does really awesome things with things that are dead. The cross and the empty tomb shows us that. And it is not over. For some of you in here today, you need to take some time and you need to choose to love your spouse. You need to have a tough conversation, sit down and shut your mouth and say, honey, I'm so glad you told me because I love you and I love Jesus and I may not get it right every single day, but I'm going to build into your wheel every single day for the rest of my life. And I'm going to do it to the point of my own demise. Not because you're always going to be lovable, but because I'm a follower of Jesus. And wives, there may be some husbands that say, look, I can't handle being at home and not being respected. I'm not respected here more than anywhere else, and I know I don't deserve it. But I need you to build into my wheel. Healthy people say, I'm so glad you told me. And there may be some of you in here today who have never once chosen to love Jesus because you thought he didn't love you. He took the first step to say, yeah, you've messed up, but I came and died for you anyway. The blood I shed covers everything you've done. And if you choose to love me back, everything will change. Your circumstances may not completely change, but your heart will change forever. And you will start taking steps to know how to love others because I'm going to be pouring into you and you're going to know what that feels like. This is your time to respond to your Heavenly Father who loves you, who chose to love you even the days you don't love him. And this time is for you. I pray that you don't get up and leave. I pray that you would take this time to submit to your Heavenly Father. Ask him to either change your spouse's heart or to change yours. And however that is, I pray he gives us the courage to do that. And we want to know, man, if today is your day and you decided today for the very first time ever, I'm choosing Jesus. I've lived a horrible life and you want to say, I am so sorry for my sins. I ask forgiveness. I believe that Jesus died and rose again to cover my sins. And I'm choosing love from this day forward. If that was you, if you made that decision today, we just want to celebrate it. So we just want you to put a hand up. If that was you, anybody over here, today is your day. You are choosing. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but you are taking steps to walk in love from this day forward. Anybody over here? What about anybody up top? Anybody up top? What about anybody over here? What about up top here in the middle? Anybody? Today is your day. Anybody down here in the middle? What about up top over here, right there? Oh, right up there? Woo! Woo! Can we give God a hand for our brand new brother? Woo!
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.